Everyone, it's good to be able to be here and open the Word up to you. So turn your Bibles open to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be considering the whole chapter tonight, but in two parts. The second part, Lord willing, we'll be preaching on the last day, the last Sunday that we're here. So Matthew 25, we won't read it just yet. But what I want to do is read it in three sections. And as I mentioned, the other time that I preach this is going to be on the last day or the last Sunday that we're here. So we've actually got 24 more days here left in Lafayette in America. Are we ready? No. We are not ready at all. Now, are we making the necessary arrangements? Yes, we are. With a heavy heart. Now imagine the 1st of June, the day that we leave, comes around and we're not ready. There would be a panic like you would never have seen before down in that apartment. Dread would fill me. Alison and I would be frantic, yelling at each other. It would be a nightmare that would come true. But imagine for a moment if Jesus came back in 5 minutes. In the next 5 minutes. Would you be ready? If not, if you weren't ready, I would imagine there would be a desperate panic within your soul. There would be dread filling your body and a fear that you had never felt before. It really would be the worst nightmare that ever happened to you. And the passage that we're looking at tonight, it cries out for us to be ready. It cries out for you to be ready for Christ's unexpected return. And what it also does is gives us a progressively worse picture of hell in the three sections that we're going to be looking at. And in here we see the sins of those who aren't ready. And we're going to be marking them out for special attention tonight. And just as a summary, those three sins are that we can be so busy about our life, and as a result we're not ready for Christ's return. We can be lazy and unfaithful in the things that God has given to do for us to do for His glory, the jobs, the duties, the tasks, the talents. Yet we're found not doing them. Unready. Not ready. And we can be so self-absorbed and unconcerned about the needs of others and the welfare of others. These are the three particular sins that we'll be looking at tonight. And if we persist in these, Jesus describes for us what will happen to us. This judgment in hell. Now, judgment and hell have got to be the hardest subjects to talk about. Probably the most neglected subjects. Because they're serious subjects. They're eternal. Eternal consequences are at hand. And so we can't look at this and talk about hell and judgment and the second coming of Christ with frivolous comments and a carefree attitude. It's serious. And so its seriousness makes it all the more necessary to look into. And when I was preparing for this sermon, I received a call from someone who was strongly reformed, and they said, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm preparing a sermon talking about hell and judgment." And they said, What are you going to talk about that for? Why, that's such a morbid, horrible subject. Why don't you talk about something nicer like heaven? And this was from someone who was strongly reformed. But the fact is, we need to know about hell. We need to know about judgment. We need to know what our destination is going to be if we are not ready for Jesus Christ's return. And what we hear, we need to listen to these warnings that Christ gives us in Matthew 25 to help us to prepare for His return. We need to be ready. You need to be ready because He's coming back. So let's look at what Matthew 25 says, what Jesus says to us in His Word. We're first of all looking at the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Let's read the first 13 verses. And Jesus says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him!' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I don't know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" The first parable. Wise and foolish virgins waiting for the bridegroom. They didn't know when he was coming. The wise take extra oil just in case. They wait longer. The foolish don't. The wise are marked by good preparation. They're ready. The bad, the foolish, are marked by bad preparation. They're not ready. And as a result, these foolish ones are subsequently caught out in their lack of preparation and they're shut out of the wedding celebrations. They weren't ready. And the bridegroom replies to them, "I don't know you. I don't know you." And when Christ comes unexpectedly, what's He going to say to you? He will say the same thing to those who weren't ready and those who weren't prepared to Him, prepared for Him. And if you're not ready, you're in trouble. If you are not ready for Christ when He comes, you're going to be separated from Him forever. You're going to be shut out of that eternal wedding celebration. You're going to be locked out of the joys of heaven. No matter what you say to Him, He's going to say, "I don't know you. Who are you?" See, it won't matter what we know about Christ, how much we know of Him. It won't matter how many times we came along to church if He doesn't know you. If He doesn't know you, then you won't be ready for Christ when He comes. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Christ says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And what does he say before that? They'll say to him, but Lord, didn't we do all these marvellous things in your name? Didn't we raise people from the dead? Didn't we preach the gospel? Didn't we do this and that and everything else? And what do they say? What does he say to them? I don't know you. What are you going to say to God when Christ comes? Well, I've preached your gospel, I've been along to fellowship group, I've been to church, I've been to prayer meeting, I've done this and that and everything else. But if you aren't known by God, he's going to say, I don't know you. The thing that matters the most is that you are known by God. The question is, how can you be known by him? Well, we find an answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. If anyone loves God, God knows you. And how do you know if you love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you will do my commandments. He who has my commandments and does them and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. If anyone loves God, this one is known by him. So what category are you in tonight? Are you in the wise category or the foolish category? Are you prepared for Christ's return or are you not? We can be so busy about our life, and as a result, we can be totally unprepared for Christ's return. And it's a sin to be too busy with earthly things apart from seeking Christ. And you teenagers, listen up for a second. Covenant kids, listen. You can't piggyback into heaven on the back of your parents' faith. You need to commit your life to Christ. God has made so many covenant promises to you. You need to hold on to them. Grasp them. Take them for yourself. Why are you waiting? Why are you letting the days fritter away? You don't know when Christ is coming. Why are you slumbering in your commitment to Christ? Be wise and give your life to him. Repent and believe before it's too late. So you don't know when Christ is coming. So why are you procrastinating? Are you ready for God? If not, you will be separated from him forever. Never able to enter into his rest or his joy. We're going to move on to the second section. Verse 14. The parable of the talents. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went out on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought the 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scatter no seed. And you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The parable of the talents. 3 servants. The master gives them talents according to their abilities. And while the master's away, 2 go and work faithfully, double the money for their master. But the lazy one is unfaithful and he does nothing for his master's benefit. And when his master returns, he gives an account. And he's punished. This lazy one is punished for his unfaithfulness and his laziness. When Christ returns, it will be your day of reckoning. It'll be your day of account, to give an account. 2 Corinthians 5:10 speaks about everyone will stand before the judgment throne to give an account of the deeds, whatever deeds they have done. Whatever you have done, good or bad, you will have to give an account to the Lord on that day of reckoning. And if you're found to be like the lazy servant, then just look at your punishment. You will be stripped of whatever little you had. You will be thrown into the outer darkness where there is going to be weeping and there is going to be gnashing of teeth. This is what awaits everyone who is lazy and everyone who is unfaithful in the things that God has given them to do for His glory, for His benefit. Whether those things are your job, the gifts, the abilities, the talents, whatever God has given you, the duties. Let's look at the first of these 3 punishments, this outer darkness, for a moment. There is no light of salvation or any hope of it. Only the darkness of spiritual separation. You're no longer able to call on God. Too late. The opportunity for salvation has expired. And this punishment is total and permanent spiritual darkness. If any one of you have ever been caving before, you will know what it's like. Darkness. I've been caving before, right down deep in the bowels of the earth, and they turn the lights off. And do you think I could see my hand in front of my face? Not at all. It was pitch thick. Darkness. Now imagine spiritual darkness of that magnitude. Now right at this moment, God's light and His blessing of common grace exists. Praise God for that. But when Christ comes, on that day of reckoning, on the day of accountability, and He sits on His judgment throne, that common grace is going to be withdrawn forever. Every particle of God's light and His favour a sinner once received is going to be totally removed. Totally. And there in that place of outer darkness is going to be weeping and there's going to be gnashing of teeth. And so we look at this second of the three punishments, this weeping. There's going to be no joy there. Only cries of pain, cries of anguish. This weeping is not just shedding of tears. This weeping is the strongest expression of outward grief imaginable. It is complete loss of joy and happiness. Many of you have probably seen those Middle Eastern women who cry and weep when they have their husband or their son killed. They weep. However, time has the ability to deaden the pain that is once first felt. But it's not going to be the case in judgment in hell. Judgment is far worse. It's not bound by time. It is eternal. It goes on and on. Weeping in judgment is going to be uncontrollable, inconsolable, and unending. And when we look at the last of this trio of despair, the gnashing of teeth, so mixed with this eternal nuclear explosion of weeping is going to be this excruciating torment of pain, gnashing and gritting of teeth in hell. There is no peace, only a ferocious agony, frenzied anger, grinding and gritting of teeth in a helpless rage. Who deserves this? Who deserves this sort of punishment? What sort of awful person deserves this? The lazy servant. The one who has been given a special privilege but wasted it. Are you lazy? Are you lazy and unfaithful in the things that God has given you for His glory? Those gifts, those talents that you are able to do, the job, the duties. There are skilled people in this church that can do ministry but are not doing ministry. Many opportunities exist. So use your gifts and abilities for the building up of His kingdom rather than for your own comforts. Work on that spiritual bank account of yours. Work hard at making spiritual profits for the Lord. And when Christ comes back, will He find you using what He has given you for His glory? Are you ready? If you aren't ready for the return of your Master, what I have described is your lot forever. Now we come to the third and the final description of judgment. And I hope you've noticed how the description of hell, the magnitude of its severity has increased. Gone from just, I don't know you, total separation from God, to weeping, to gnashing of teeth, to outer darkness. This last section that we're looking at describes more graphically the judgment that is to come. And we see the sheep and the goats, the illustration of the sheep and the goats. Let's pick up on verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His throne, His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now this final and climactic illustration, it provides us the realities of the awfulness of hell. It provides us the realities of the awfulness of Christ's return, this day of judgment, this day of reckoning. Our focus is going to be on verse 41 and 46. This is the day when everyone must give account. And I've mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's a matter of fact. It will happen. Everything is going to be exposed and everyone will have to give an account of what he's done. And then a division is made and people on Christ's left are sent to hell for eternal judgment. These people are nicknamed the goats. But who are the goats? Who are the ones who fall under this category of goats? Well, first of all, look at verse 41. And he says, depart from me, you accursed ones. They're cursed by God. Those who are not ready are declared cursed. They're described in this section as self-absorbed, unconcerned for the needs and welfare of others. They didn't serve Christ by serving others. And this will include outwardly upright, moral, nice people. You know a lot of nice people. You know a lot of moral people. It may include loving parents, good neighbours, honest employees, those who haven't put their faith in Christ. This chapter says, those who are not ready will be punished in hell with everlasting fire. Verse 41, again, they're going to be cast, they're going to be thrown into the eternal fire which burns forever and ever and ever. And ever. If you've been burnt, you know what it's like. That excruciating pain of a burn. My brother-in-law was burnt 3 or 4 weeks before his wedding. He knew what pain was about. But the burning of judgment in the fire hell is infinitely worse than a third-degree burn on the back. And it's infinitely worse than Nebuchadnezzar's ferocious fire. It's going to be hotter. Agonizing pain beyond description. It is continuous. It is intense. And the judgment in hell is terrible and awful beyond description. Those who are not ready for Christ when he comes are going to be accompanying the devil and his angels. This place is prepared for the devil. Remember, hell is not the devil's hell. It's not prepared by him, it's prepared for him. God made hell. He made all things. And finally, we also see that those that are not ready for Christ's return are going to go to this place forever. This punishment, this separation from God, this weeping and gnashing of teeth, this outer darkness, you being called cursed, burning with the devil, is forever. Eternal judgment is the place where the full measure of God's wrath is handed out. All those who have not repented of their sins, all those who have not trusted in Christ, all those who are self-absorbed and not concerned for the welfare of others, have a one-way, non-refundable ticket to this place of permanent punishment. And as a result, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be shocked on the day when Christ comes. When they give an account, they're going to be shocked. What? So are you characterized as one who is self-absorbed? One who is just not concerned about the welfare and the needs of others? See, don't forget that serving others is serving Christ. That's what he says here. So befriend the needy. Help the poor. Think of others. See where you can help. Give of the wealth that God has given you. And as we finish up tonight, have you noticed that the sins described in this chapter are not big sins like murder? They're not rape, they're not adultery. What are the sins there? See, Matthew 25 is a wake-up call for those who are just comfortable in their little lazy sins. These sins are going to catch you unprepared. If you are so busy about your life and totally unprepared for Christ, you are like the foolish virgins shut out from the wedding. If you are lazy and unfaithful with the gifts and abilities that God has given you for His glory, you are like the lazy servant. And if you are self-absorbed and unconcerned about the needs and welfare of others, you are like the goats on the left-hand side of Christ. These sins and others will bring you into total separation of God. They're going to give you, you will experience outer darkness, eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to be cursed in a raging fire with the devil and his angels in this never-ending punishment. But how can you be ready? Remember, I said, what if Christ comes back in 5 minutes? Are you ready? You all are so clear about what will happen on the day of accountability when Christ returns. How can you be ready? If you are not in Christ, today is the day of your salvation. Give your life to Christ. Commit your life to Christ. Repent of your sins. And especially if you are a covenant kid, if you are a teenager, around that age, stop dishonoring your parents. Stop thinking that you can piggyback into heaven on your parents' faith. What are you going to say to Christ when he comes back and you have not claimed those covenant promises that he so readily gives you? What are you going to say to Christ when he comes back and you're not ready? Take hold of these promises that are in God's word for you. Hell is a difficult subject. And it's all the more difficult because I know that some of you are not ready for Christ's return. But everything that I've said here, I have said because I love you. And I want everyone here to be ready when Christ returns. We're leaving in 24 days. And we may never see you again. Particularly those who are not ready for Christ. Be ready for Him. I want to see you on the other side. I want to see you in paradise. So be there. Be ready. Let's pray. Our Father God, our merciful King, we thank you in Jesus' name that we have salvation offered to us so freely. We pray that you would cause your Spirit to be working in every single heart here in this sanctuary, to search the deepest recesses of their soul and know where they stand before you, whether they are ready or not. Lord, we pray you would change hearts now so that they would be ready for when Christ returns, so that they can experience the awesome privilege of being called a child of God and the amazing privilege of living with you in eternity, in paradise, in perfection and joy forever. Hear this prayer because of Christ, the Saviour, the Lord and the King. Amen. We're going to sing Psalm 50A. Psalm 50A. Verse 3, stanza 3, our God surely comes. Keep silence, shall not he? Before him fire shall come, shall waste, great storms shall round about him be. Be ready for when Christ comes. Let's stand and sing.
sing the third stanza again as our doxology. Receive now the blessing of your God. Grace to you and peace from the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Amen.